Welcome to another Macquarie Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message.
Lord Jesus, happy birthday. But so much more. We thank you that one of your names, amidst all the other names, is Emmanuel, God with us, and that means so much to me. That you are with us in all our mess, in our worst days and our best days. With every breath, you are with us. So we worship you this morning, Lord Jesus. And we love you. Amen. Amen. How beautiful. Thank you, creative team. Let's give them a hand. What a beautiful, God-glorifying morning. We really love you, and I want to honor Jill, who's up the back. Jill Milton, what an incredible woman and leader of leaders you are, and I just want to honor you. Merry Christmas, everyone, from the Zaire family to your family. Merry Christmas, ho, ho, ho. And also, hello, onliners. Have a lovely Christmas. Have a lovely day today. Enjoy that latte that I'm sure you're sipping. We're at church. All right, I thought we'd start off with a game, kids. There's a few kids in this service. And so it's a trivia Christmas quiz. You've got four questions, all right? And you don't get the prize if you don't get it right. So Disses and Britt are going to stand up there. The prizes are here. I'm going to read the question. And you've got to put your hand up and in a big, loud voice, say the answer, all right? And if you get the right answer, you get the Kit Kat. Already, first question. What was the name of the town that Jesus was born in? Who said Bethlehem? Go. Yeah, I know. We've got to change the rules. Okay. What was the name of one of the gifts that the wise men bought? Frankincense, in the front. Yes. Okay, next question. What colour shoes was Joseph wearing on the night Jesus was born? Yes, brown. Who knows? Who can tell me, this is a tricky one, who can tell me the name of the king who was jealous when Jesus was born and tried to have him killed? Yes, over there. Yes, Herod. Oh. Over there, did you see? Oh, she already had one. No, share it. That's it. Thanks, Dissa. Man, got to have better rules for the 10 o'clock. All right, what an intelligent bunch of kids we have in this church. Heaps more intelligent than a couple of other churches, I'm sure. All right, well, let's go to 1 Matthew 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to the public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David," I don't know how angels speak, but I thought I'd have a go, "do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from the sins," the manger to the cross. "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Emmanuel is the name given to Jesus from one of the two annunciations, one in Luke, one in Matthew. And this morning I want to unpack that name, Emmanuel. We're going to look at three things. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is us. And Jesus Christ is with us. Jesus Christ is God. Matthew took this passage from Isaiah 7, the prophecy, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel." He's linking the Old Testament from the New Testament. Interestingly, the Jews had read this prophecy, but they didn't take it literally. They thought that God was just going to send a man that would point to God, that would help them be close to God. But Matthew is saying, no, Jewish leaders, God is coming to be with us. He's going to be born as a baby from God, not from humans, and he's going to be with us. All through the New Testament, the disciples declared that Jesus Christ was God. The Apostle Paul declared that Jesus Christ was God. And Jesus Christ, when he was on the earth, declared and gave himself that name. You remember he said before Abraham, I am. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't a sage, a teacher, but he was God. God come to find us. You know, the Jews wouldn't even say the word Yahweh. To them, God was distant. He was untouchable. They had to keep hundreds of laws even to please him. So it was unthinkable. It was so hard for them to get their heads around that he would come to earth. Tim Keller says this, the founders of every major religion say, I will show you how to find God. But Jesus said, I am God who has come to find you. Second, not only is Jesus Christ God, but he's also human. He's 100% God, but he is 100% human. Try wrapping your heads around that. Two things about the humanity of Christ. The first one is this, that it means he can give us infinite comfort. Ask yourself this question. When you go through something hard, when you go through something difficult, when you suffer, what gives you comfort other than chocolate? Earlier this year, I had breast cancer, and the professionals were great. They helped save my life. But there was a couple of people that gave me comfort. And do you know who they were? They were people who had walked the journey, who had been through breast cancer. We laughed, we cried together, and for me, it was like putting a warm blanket on. Christ does that for humanity. He comforts us. You might be able to point your fingers, as I do sometimes, to politicians and say, they don't understand, they don't get it. But you can't point your finger to Christ and say that he doesn't get it. The Bible says he was familiar and acquainted with suffering. The Bible said he was marred beyond recognition. The Bible says he was tempted in all ways that we were. He was born into poverty. He died in poverty. He couldn't afford his own grave. He was a refugee. He was rejected. He was betrayed. He was misunderstood. He was shamed. He was excluded. His brothers and sisters didn't believe in him. He experienced loneliness, grief, hunger. He was falsely accused. And he went through tremendous physical pain. He became flesh. He became vulnerable. He became torturable, betrayable, misunderstandable. If you are suffering, he knows what it's like. Christmas doesn't tell you why you are suffering, but it tells you what your suffering isn't. It isn't that God doesn't care. It isn't that he doesn't understand or he dismisses you. He knows what it's like to walk on this planet. He knows what it's like to whatever you feel. And also, Christ being us means this. Humility, his humility. Philippians 2:7 says this, but he laid aside his mighty power and glory, emptied himself of his, and taking the disguise of a slave and becoming like men. Doesn't say that he emptied himself of his deity, but he emptied himself of his glory. That word is glamour. He emptied himself of his glamour. I mean, who does that? I mean, for me, the older you get, the more you try to get on to any bit of glamour that you can. Which reminds me of a story. You know, when I was in my teenage years, I used to complain to my mum about being ugly. I said, Mum, I'm so ugly compared to all my glamorous friends. And I remember one day I was sitting at the bench, kitchen bench complaining, and she said this to me. I don't know what came over her, but I think she was at her wit's end. She said, Roz, look at it this way. When you're in your 30s and you lose your looks, When you're in your 30s and other people lose their looks, you won't have to worry because you won't have any to lose. Note to self, don't say that. It didn't work. But Christ emptied himself of his glamour. He did the opposite. Think of it. He did the opposite of the world in exchange for hardship, malice, and finally death on a cross. That's the Christmas spirit. Jesus Christ became one of us. And the last thing is this, Jesus is with us. Another significant name in the Old Testament before Christ is a name that you don't ever want to name your son, Ichabod or Judas. Probably two names to keep away from. 1 Samuel 4, we read the story of a woman. It was one of the worst days of her life. Not only is she giving birth, which can be one of the worst days of your life, but she hears this news. She hears, as she's giving birth, she hears the news that the Ark of God, the presence of God, has been stolen by the Philistines. Another servant runs in and tells her that her father-in-law, the high priest, is dead. And then another servant runs in and tells her that her husband has been killed in battle. And then she has a baby. And it says in 1 Samuel 4 this, "Then she murmured, 'Name the child Ichabod, for Israel's glory is gone.' Ichabod means there is no glory." She makes a big mistake. She names her future according to her present. Don't ever do that. We all go through tough times, but don't name your whole life from one chapter. You got to know that God is the great restorer. He's the great healer. He's the one that can take all things and make them work together for good. So never name your future according to your present. She names the child Ichabod. She has a moment. She said, "All hope is gone. All hope is lost. I give up. Ichabod for my future. The glory of God has departed for my future, for my family, for my child. There is no more joy, only sorrow left." And then we forward wind a couple of hundred years and the prophet declares another name for another son, Emmanuel, God with us. And you know, in life, you and I have a choice to choose over our life, to choose over our stories, to choose over our family, either Ichabod, the glory has departed, I quit, there is no hope, where is God, or Emmanuel, God with us. You know, Emmanuel, God with us, doesn't mean that we don't go through adversity. We all go through adversity. But Emmanuel means that we never go through it alone and we always hold on to hope. You know, earlier this year when I was diagnosed with cancer, I don't know why, but they didn't say bring a partner. They just said, come. So I went on my own and she said to me, she said, "Roz, you've got cancer and you need to get into the specialist ASAP. And it's a funny thing when that happens, you go and pay the receptionist and you're paying the money and you feel like saying to her, don't you know I could die? But you just pay the money. You know, I went, sat in the car alone, and in those moments, you know, there's no lights, there's no choirs. But in that moment, I chose Emmanuel. I said, God, I'm going to do this with you. And 4 days later, when I was preaching, I hadn't told the church, and on the way to church, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said these words from Romans, "You will do this journey more than a conqueror." He didn't tell me healing. He didn't speak to me about my cancer. But the good thing is he didn't say just a conqueror. He said more than a conqueror. And I knew it was Emmanuel, God with us speaking. Do you know why, church? Because Jesus Christ is more than a conqueror. And not only is he with us, but he is in us. And Christ in you is more than a conqueror. Pastor James Moore of Houston tells this story about a young man whose wife had died, leaving him with a small son. Back home from the cemetery, they went to bed early because there was nothing else they could bear to do. As he lay there in the darkness, grief-stricken and heartbroken, the little boy broke the stillness from his bed with the disturbing question, "Daddy, where is Mummy?" The father got up and brought the little boy to bed with him, but the child was still disturbed and restless, occasionally asking the questions, "Why isn't she here? When is she coming back?" Finally, the little boy said, "Daddy, if your face is turned toward me, I think I can go to sleep now." In a little while, he was quiet. The father lay there in the darkness, and then in a childlike faith. What other faith is there? He prayed this prayer, "Oh God, I don't see how I can survive this. The future looks so miserable. But if your face is toward me, somehow I think I can make it." And that's what the Christmas message is. That's what Emmanuel and Messiah came to teach us, that he is with us. His face is always towards you. Emmanuel, God with us, whatever we face, whatever the season, whatever the diagnosis, church, it's not Ichabod. It's Emmanuel. If the relationship breaks down, it's not Ichabod. It's Emmanuel. If there's loss, if there's disappointment, if there's discouragement, it's not Ichabod. It is Emmanuel. If there's grief, if there's betrayal, if there's misunderstanding, it's not Ichabod. It is Emmanuel. God with us. What did he say? He promised he would not leave us orphans. He said, "I will not leave you orphans. When I go, I will send the Holy Spirit, and he will teach you and he will be with you all your days." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you on your last day, church. It will be Emmanuel. He will raise you up on the last day." Emmanuel, God with us. He said, "I go and prepare a place for you." Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Do not be discouraged. Be of good cheer. I am with you. Emmanuel. So what does Emmanuel mean for you in 2024? Close your eyes, church. If there's an Ichabod that's got on you, I'm going to pray and I want you to take it off this morning. Don't have that banner over your life, church. Don't have, "There is no hope. Nothing will ever change. I'm disappointed with you, God. I'm holding you at arm's length. You never come through." He was so vulnerable. How vulnerable to leave heaven and be born, to be contained in a human womb and come into mess and stretch his hands out for nails and take your and my sin. How vulnerable, so we can be vulnerable with him. Be vulnerable with him this morning. Open your heart, the deepest part of your heart. Let Emmanuel come in. Where is Emmanuel for you? And while you're thinking of that, I want to give you an opportunity to invite Emmanuel into your life. You might have never acknowledged Emmanuel. This morning, I want you to acknowledge Emmanuel. I don't care where you are. I don't care what you believe. I don't care what you've done. That's why he came. He didn't come to a palace. He came to a mess. The messier you are, the better he likes it. But you've got to know you're a mess. We've got to know we're a sinner, so we need him. And I'm going to pray a prayer in a minute. I want you to look at this scripture, Revelations 3:20. Jesus says this, the last book of the Bible, "Here I am." His plea to humanity, to human hearts. "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." An invitation to have Emmanuel in your life. So if that's you, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I need you. I've lived so much of my life with Ichabod, that there's no God. But this morning, I'm going to take a step of faith because I know your face is turned toward me in this life, and I want to turn my face toward you. Emmanuel, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I open up my heart. Forgive me for my mess. Come into my mess, Lord Jesus, and walk with me as you did, as you healed the blind, the lame, as you rose the dead. I want Jesus in my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And if that was your prayer this morning, you've been away from God or you prayed that prayer, I'd love you to come and speak to me. Or if not, there's a Bible on the bridge. I want you to grab that Bible on the bridge And I want you to start reading from Matthew, reading how Emmanuel, God, is with you. And I want you to come back to church, if not this church, another church, and do this beautiful walk of God with us in a community of faith. Church, Merry Christmas. Have a beautiful Christmas. Have a wonderful new year. I love you. God bless.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have enjoyed this message. For more information, please visit macroylifechurch.com.au.